I mean, in marketing, we should be experimenting with AI basically everywhere. But market research, I think, offers a couple of really concrete and specific use cases that people can and should start using immediately.
Welcome to CMO Convo. Today we have with us John Brzezinski, Director of B2B Marketing at Babbel. Hi, John.
Hi, Michal. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh, it's absolutely a pleasure. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So we've got a bunch of exciting topics to talk about today. But before we kind of like dive into that, John, you have spent nearly two decades driving results in B2B marketing and, you know, like being in this whole craziness that is called marketing. So would you mind sharing a bit about your journey?
Oh, sure. So I actually didn't start in marketing. I spent the first 6 years of my career teaching English to adults. And then when I was looking to make a career move, a hiring manager took a chance on me. We do it marketing software products that were targeting university departments where they were teaching English as a second language. So I got my start because I had been the market and I knew the market. I knew the personas really, really well. And that kicked things off. I spent the next 10 years working for the major educational publishers. And then after that, it was a stint with some startups. And I've spent the last several years working for more mid-sized companies. But it's been B2B SaaS the whole time. I have seen the birth of SEO. I saw direct mail die only to come back because nobody gets mail anymore. Isn't it cool to receive mail? I remember hearing someone say, have you heard of this thing called a web seminar? Only for that to turn into just an absolutely normal thing for people to do. And here we are recording podcasts, you know, video and audio. And good God, I am sure we're going to talk about AI. But yes. I'll be honest, you know, with everything that's changed, you know, multiple recessions and growths, the pandemic, I think one thing that my years have taught me is that as long as humans are making buying decisions from the information that they get from other humans. So at least until the AI agents are buying all of our software or building all of our software for us, the principles have pretty much stayed the same. It's still understand your target market, understand the pain that your personas are going through, help your product team to build stuff that's going to alleviate that pain, and then tell everyone about how your thing can alleviate the pain. It's difficult to do, but not difficult to explain.
Yeah, it sounds easy, John. It sounds easy. So with that in mind, with this easiness in mind, I want us to dive into our topic for today, which is market research, or even more so, creative ways to create market research. So maybe we can start from the beginning. Maybe you can share a bit from your experience. What are the clearest signs that it's time to start working on a market research for a company?
Sure. So let me start by saying that if your team or your research team, if you have a separate research team, is not currently doing at least annual projects, then you need to. You know, we're all collecting signals from a lot of different places, which are great, but just to be able to keep your finger on the pulse of the market and track changes over time, it's important to do something annual where, you know, you refresh your personas, you refresh your competitive intelligence, you refresh your understanding of just what's going on with your market. But aside from that, one of the biggest things is if you're seeing something change with your ability to land new customers. So your win rate has changed. Either it's increased, which is great, or it's decreased, which is worrisome. And you're not really sure why. Maybe you're winning or losing against a certain competitor more or less. Or maybe the sales team is reporting that they're getting objections that they haven't heard before. If something has changed in your pipeline or, heaven forbid, in your revenue, then it's incredibly important to understand why. And a great tool for that, in addition to all of the other analyses that we can run, is to just ask, to just talk to the market and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you believe, by the way, that market research is something that marketers should do on an ongoing basis? So kind of like instead of, okay, it's now, you know, half year through, let's do a market research, or in the beginning of the year, do believe that marketeers should constantly, in a way, be checking or having like a pulse, you know, like checking what's the pulse in the market?
Oh, so for sure. So in addition to like, you know, starting a real project, I mean, so many people, so many of our colleagues are literally out there in the market, talking to the market every single day. Everyone who works in pre-sales, everyone who works in sales, everyone who works in customer success. If you've got a professional services team, the professional services team, they are literally having conversations with your market every single day. And it is absolutely incumbent on us. And if you have product marketing under your remit on the product marketing team, to constantly collect and constantly update all of the information that's coming in. One really easy way to think about this is if you've got one salesperson who hears something that they believe represents a change in the market, and they hear it six times, they are absolutely going to, you know, ring the bell and say, something is different. Oh my God, we need to adjust right now. But if nobody else has heard that, then that might not be a real trend. And the only way that you know is if you're collecting all of the information that everybody hears. Or on the flip side, if, you know, each of your salespeople and each of your CSMs hears this thing only once, they don't think it's a trend. So they're not even going to mention it, not even to their bosses. But if every single one of them has heard that once and you're collecting all of this information constantly, then now you can identify, yes, something is happening. There is a trend. Something is different. And this is going to be a trigger to then kick off a bigger research project. But you only know this stuff if you're constantly, constantly collecting everything. So yes, all the time.
Great answer. And can I ask you maybe what are the outcomes that we're looking to get out of a market research?
Okay. The answer that you and the listeners are going to hate is the real answer, which is it depends. But more specifically, though, so what does it depend on? Okay. So it depends. Has something in fact changed? If your pipeline is suddenly in trouble, if you're suddenly losing to a specific competitor, or if you're getting, you know, new questions or new objections that you've never gotten before, then, you know, obviously, in those kinds of circumstances, the outcome that you're looking for is, what should we do, either from the product side or from marketing or from sales, to get the pipeline back where it needs to be? Mm-hmm. But what that means could be almost anything. It really depends on what's going on in the market. And so the fundamental first question, the first outcome that you're really looking for, is to understand, well, what's going on in the market? Has a competitor, you know, in stealth mode released a feature that they're only sharing with your top clients who are now at risk of churn? Has something shifted in the way that your target persona is being evaluated at their jobs, right? So perhaps there's a new KPI that they have to meet, which shifts the way that they're making decisions about the way that they do their jobs and potentially the way that they make decisions about the products that they're buying. The fundamental thing that research needs to answer is, what's going on in the first place? And then what should we do about it in the second place? So what are we looking for? Could be almost anything. But ultimately, what you need are additional data points that you can use in collaboration with the other members of the leadership team to make business-driven decisions. We can get tons of data pulled directly from our products, tons of data pulled from our CRMs, but actually talking to the market itself is an incredibly insightful additional data point that helps drive those business decisions.
Yeah. So essentially, you mentioned a few times now this whole concept of talking with the market. Do you have any methods or something that you can recommend about how can we talk with the market? So, of course, reaching out to the sales team or the people that are kind of like on the ground is a great thing. But are there any other options for, you know, marketing leaders that are now sitting basically either in their home office or their actual office? How can they start or to initiate it or to envision that?
Sure. Okay. So, you know, apologies in advance to any listener who already has a really solid background in market research. I'm going to start with the basics. There's really two directions, two methods of market research that we can use. There's quantitative and there's qualitative, right? And as the names suggest, quantitative is where we're looking for large amounts of data, preferably stuff that can be measured in charts and spreadsheets, lots of discrete closed-ended questions that we can use to analyze broad trends. And then the opposite, the complement to that, is qualitative research, where we're actually asking more open-ended questions, and we're trying to, you know, speak to one person at a time or to a small group and dig a little bit deeper into, you know, what they're thinking about, what kinds of challenges they're facing. Beyond that, you know, when we're looking at the way that you would structure a project, it depends a great deal on the kinds of questions that you have and the kind and what you already know. So I'll give you a couple of quick examples. Let's imagine a situation where you say pipeline is down or revenue is down, and your quick analysis of the win-loss data in your CRM doesn't really show any definite trends. You know, it's not industry specific, it's not competitor specific, but something isn't working as well as it used to. And so, yes, you're going to talk to the AEs who are losing deals. They will have very strong opinions about why they're losing deals. But then in this situation where you don't really have a viable hypothesis, I recommend starting with qualitative. And if we're going to go with the, you know, the lost deals, then the best people to talk to are the ones who just told you no. So set up a series of interviews with these people and just talk to them. You know, assure them that you're not trying to revive the deal, that you're genuinely just trying to understand what's going on in the market. The fact that your job title doesn't include the word sales frequently helps to get these meetings. And just talk to them. And over the course of 30 minutes, 45 minutes, if you've got a nice script put together and you're asking questions to help understand, you know, what's really driving their buying decisions, over the course of between, say, 6 to 10 interviews, you'll start to put together a hypothesis of what you think is going on. How many? This is a question that everybody always asks. Theoretically, you could actually do just one interview. If that one informant, that one interviewee is truly representative of the entire situation that you're looking at, right? If this person is like the exemplar, like they really represent what's going on, they could speak for the segment as a whole. But you don't know if you're speaking to an exemplar yet. So that's why you do several. And if they all start going mostly the same way, you could cut it off after 6. If you start to see that actually the responses you're getting are kind of all over the place, then one of two things is going on. Either you're asking bad questions, or you're not segmenting well enough, that you're actually talking to at least 2 distinct segments, and you really need to focus on one or the other, or perhaps both, but do them in isolation. But regardless, eventually you'll have some hypotheses, right? And then how you test your hypotheses? Roll out a survey. You know, the magic number for responses tends to be around 300 in order to get a nice 5% margin of error. But if you're not 100% sure how many responses you need, you can just Google, you know, margin of error calculator. There are several websites out there that'll do it for you. And then you can either confirm or sometimes disconfirm your hypothesis, and that can lead you a little bit further. There might be another situation, though, where you already have a hypothesis. You're pretty sure, maybe based on some analysis on the win-loss data out of your CRM or from some other source. And in that case, you might want to lead with a survey to get some large-scale data about, you know, what the trend actually is. But then you don't understand the why behind it. You don't understand like the deeper meaning of those numbers. So then you would go into something more qualitative. Who do you choose for the qualitative interviews? The average respondent to your survey. This way, you'll be able to keep the total number of qualitative respondents relatively tight. You won't need to worry about speaking to outliers because you're selecting who they are based on the responses that they gave you to the survey. So as we're thinking through the ways to structure something and, you know, the way to go about a market research project more generally, there's only 2 tools. It's quantitative and qualitative. And they can always be used in combination to help you understand large scale and small scale, what's going on in your market.
Yeah. So thank you very much for sharing the explanation. I do want to touch a very trendy topic. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you haven't. AI. So
yes, the artificial intelligence. Yes. I've heard something.
So maybe you can share it from your perspective. Do you see any way to incorporate using AI for market research? And I'm not just asking, like people that are using ChatGPT, hey, build me a persona, right? So yeah, happy to hear your input about
Yeah.
that.
Oh my God. Okay. So, I mean, yes, and more yes. I actually think that, I mean, in marketing, we should be experimenting with AI basically everywhere. But market research, I think, offers a couple of really concrete and specific use cases that people can and should start using immediately. The first is analysis of all of the data that lives spread out over all of these different locations, right? If we've got reviews on sites like G2, we've got notes from an opportunity buried somewhere in your CRM, we've got Slack messages, we've got emails with the market, we've got all of these different touch points that have lots and lots and lots of information. And traditionally, someone has had to collect them individually and compile them together and slowly manually update things over time. But there's only 40 hours in the work week. So, to be perfectly honest, in most cases, unless you have the luxury of a huge team responsible for this, it just didn't get done. And so you knew that there were these nuggets of interesting information. You weren't able to keep them in mind. But with AI, as long as that you can pull all of the data points together, then you can allow the AI to run these ongoing analyses for you and to alert you if it detects that something is different, or to automatically update your competitive analyses, or don't build me a persona. God, don't let AI build you a persona from scratch. I still want a human to build that from scratch, but to update it based on trends and changes that it sees. Another really good one that I recommend is certainly have humans run the initial analysis on any large-scale research project, but use the AI as a sparring partner. Ask it independently, looking at this data, what conclusions do you make? You don't have to agree with it, but it might identify something interesting that you hadn't thought of, which can then be a starting point for a conversation with the AI to, potentially lead you into interesting directions that you hadn't thought of before. The other one is related to this, which is just if you're doing a large scale project, then suddenly you've got all of these interview transcripts that need to somehow be summarized. That's a use case for AI. That's something that, a lot of the sales enablement platforms are already offering right now, or even just a note tech, a meeting recording app will do that. This is a huge time saver. I will say that I still believe that humans should be making the final decisions about what the data means. We should not be transitioning all of this over to tools that, at least today, as of the date of recording in June of 2025, the AIs do still hallucinate rather more than we would like. So we can't be 100% sure that it's not making something up. But time savings, sparring partner, yes. Yes, absolutely, yes.
And thank you for sharing. I do want to touch another point. When it comes to market research or to surveys, etc., you need to create, or would you recommend creating some type of alignment with the stakeholders? I mean, who are the people that essentially needs to be involved when you're running this type of project in an organization?
Okay, so I'll answer the first question first, which is yes. Just like any kind of research project, maybe it's again something we're doing off of CRM data. If the stakeholders involved do not agree on what questions need to be answered and what we will do based on the answers to those questions, then you're just setting yourself up for a meeting where you present the results and people say, "Wow, what about this? We didn't ask about this." So yes, if you're going to embark on something large or small that involves market research, absolutely get people involved in advance. But make sure that you focus that alignment on really those two things that I just mentioned. What questions do we want answered? And what will we do based on the answers to those questions? It's tempting, especially if you're working with other smart people. It's tempting for them to say, "Ah, yes, we'll do a survey and we'll ask this question, this question, this question." And they'll try to write the survey like in real time during a meeting. It's like, no. People who are good at writing surveys should write surveys. But what questions do we want answered? Big picture, what do we want to know? And then based on what we learn, what will we do? Once you've got that alignment, Then you can let people who are good at crafting the whole plan, which could include qualitative and quantitative, to put the plan together. Then they can figure out the best tools to get answers to those questions, right? And it could be a bunch of different things. But once you've got that alignment on what do you want to know and what are you going to do about it, then when the project is complete and you come to present the results, I think you'll find that the responses will be much more productive. The meetings will be much more productive. The decisions will be much clearer to make. And I will share one tip that I learned from one of our colleagues in the Product Marketing Alliance Berlin chapter, which is, especially if this is a longer timeline for doing the research, is to periodically check in with the stakeholders and share just a little bit of what's going on along the way, because this helps keep them interested and helps keep them invested. And especially if you phrase it like, okay, this isn't final, but I wanted to share with you before we get to the final stage, just a little bit of what we're seeing. It's a great way to keep them aligned, a great way to keep them engaged with the project. Honestly, just to remind them, hey, we're doing this thing that we all agreed to before you come to presenting the final results. So yes, get aligned.
Yeah. So when we're talking also about alignment, maybe we can zoom out and I can ask even higher level questions, meaning how do we get the senior leadership buy-in to even start thinking or investing or approving this whole market research project, especially if you need people from other departments, budget might be invested, tools might be integrated. Do you have any tips around that?
Sure. So actually, you mentioned the word budget. And if you're doing a research project that involves surveys or involves focus groups or interviews, this is not free. You can frequently recruit happy current users to talk to you, just out of the goodness of their hearts. But generally speaking, if you need to do anything significant, especially if you're talking to non-users, or if you want something that's going to be a large-scale survey, that costs money. Be aware, listeners, that every country has slightly different laws and slightly different regulations about what kinds of remuneration or gifts you're allowed to give people for participation in the research. But please assume that it will cost money. How much? Depends on what part of the world you're talking about. Depends on what level of seniority you want to do the interviews with. But it's not free. And if you don't have survey software, I mean, the best survey software is very expensive. But you know, even decent survey software, while it won't break your budget, but it's not free, right? So yes, it costs money. But getting people on board in the first place, I think one of the classic use cases is there's a problem. And that problem is usually around money. Either churn is unacceptably high or new sales is unacceptably low, right? And there will typically be a meeting where go-to-market leaders come together to say, what's going on with our sales numbers? Why are we not hitting our goals this month, this quarter? And depending on how the conversation goes, if you believe that part of the issue is we simply do not understand what's going on in the market, then this is the perfect time to propose asking the market. In my experience, it is frequently a problem that triggers this. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only time that can trigger something. We talked before about doing annual research. If this is not currently part of your marketing plan, it needs to be. And this is actually relatively easier to get people on board with because you pitch it as we cannot afford to get behind. We cannot afford to, we can't let our pipeline suddenly start going down. We can't let our churn suddenly start going up. And so we need to include budget and time and resources spent on an annual or biannual marketing project. This is also, like I said, relatively easier to get people on board with because they aren't back to the wall worried about hitting next quarter's numbers. The third one, which actually requires slightly less buy-in since this is primarily a marketing thing, is if you want to do research for the purposes of putting together some kind of unique thought leadership piece, some kind of report on the state of something or trends in something or benchmarks around something. This is usually easy to get people excited about because you pitch this as something unique that none of your competitors can provide. And so marketing teams love it. It makes them look good. Sales teams love it. It makes them look good. CS teams usually love it. If you're pulling out product usage data, your product teams usually love it. So three things: a problem, ongoing research, and something cool to produce.
So I will say thank you very much. But do you have anything else that you would like to share kind of like with our audience in terms of like what else should they consider when they're thinking about market research or how to initiate or any other tip that you would like to share to wrap this episode up?
Okay, cool. Let me do rapid fire, maybe two or three suggestions for things that I don't think people do enough of. So one is we talked about surveys, which are, that's for quantitative research, right? You're not going to ask open-ended questions in a survey, except you can, especially with AI. So quick example, you can ask your respondents, what are three trends in industry X, three things that were not true before, and just give them three boxes. Let them type it out. It'll be small, it might be long. And then you can use these, if you get 300 respondents and you're asking everybody three questions, that's 900 responses right there. That's a cool data point that you can pull together. The second one is during interviews, especially if this is around persona research, one fun technique is to actually ask your persona about the stakeholders they interact with, and specifically ask them about stereotypes about those stakeholders. So I don't know, I'll pull something random. You're interviewing performance marketers. You sell something for performance marketers. So you're interviewing them. So ask the head of performance marketing, you know, tell me about those people in product marketing. Stereotypically, what are they like? Or those people in brand marketing, you know, those people in brand marketing, what are they like? And as you, the first time you ask the question, they won't really think you're serious and they'll be a little uncomfortable about it. But if you make it a fun thing, they'll start telling you. And what you actually get is more of an in-depth understanding of the psychology behind your performance marketer based on their stereotypical perceptions of other marketers. I think the last thing that I'll close with is to absolutely trust your colleagues who are out there in front of the market, but do not take what they say as the absolute be-all and end-all. We absolutely have to go out and confirm it. Nothing is as good or as useful as talking to the market directly and asking those questions directly. And I think that if you try it, and if you're already trying it, if you try more of it, you'll find that you get much greater insights that are actionable. You can use directly in marketing, and you can use to help with the sales, CS, and product teams for the whole company. Market research. It's pretty cool.
You should try it out.
Yes.
Thank you very much for being with us, and thank you for the insightful conversation that we have. And I'm sure our listeners will gain a lot of value from this. And with that, I'll wish you a lovely day.
Thanks very much. It's been tons of fun.
Ciao.